Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is indeed a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you this morning, and an even greater pleasure to bring God's Word. So please open your Bibles on Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. We'll be reading from verses 20 through 23 here. So please give attention to the reading of the Word of God from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33. The Word of God says, "Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you have refused to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but I will not find it, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster." Now let us pray briefly and ask for the Lord's illumination in the exposition of the Word of God. O Lord, we come to you humbly acknowledging that we are in such a great need of your Holy Spirit enlightening us so that we understand your Word. So please pour out your Spirit upon us so that we can understand your Word, so that we can live by it, so that you can, O Holy Spirit, preach to our hearts and reach where no human preacher could reach, to transform our souls, to make us renewed in Christ Jesus, to bring sinners unto you. This is what we pray, trusting in you, that you are a good God that listens to the prayers of your people. Amen. Our mothers, grandmothers, maybe you can picture this. Imagine you are at your living room. You are taking care of your grandson or your son or daughter of a toddler. And then you look to the side and you are maybe reading your newspaper or doing another chore. And you look to the side. And then when you look back to the child is licking his finger and it's about to put his finger into the power outlet. What would you do? Would you whisper to the child and say, "Hey kiddo, don't do this, bad idea"? Would you start to lecture the child on the conductive properties of copper and how if the child touches an electrified material, the child will get zapped? Of course not. You wouldn't do this. You would cry out. You would scream out your lungs. And you would call out the child by name. And you would say, "Todd, look at me. Don't do this. Stop." And why would you do this? Because this is a matter of life or death. It is. Now here, in our text, we have a similar energetic call here from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, pictured here as wisdom, which also deals with a matter of life or death. And unlike the case in which the toddler, that he could die if he put his wet finger into the power outlet, here, if any of us fails to heed the call of Christ will certainly die. That's what our text is teaching us very clearly. If we fail to listen to Christ's appeal here for our souls, we will certainly die. Therefore, it is important that we give heed to Christ's words for us today here from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33. And in our text today, we will be learning that in listening to Christ's appeals, to Christ's calls, there is life and security. But in refusing his call, there's death and destruction. Let me say this again. In listening to Christ's call, there's life and security. But in refusing his call, there's death and destruction. And this is what we see here in 2 points today. First point, that Christ cries out for our lives. The second point, that Christ warns against deadly refusal. So there's an invitation. There's also a warning. And those two come together in our text. Here, we look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. And why do I say that this is Christ calling out for your souls? There are four elements of this call that I want to explain briefly here. And the first one is that this is a personal call. This is not any kind of abstract call, but it's a call being issued by a person. This is very clear that wisdom is crying out. This is a person crying out here. Wisdom in the first couple of verses, the first few verses of Proverbs, even when Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2, in the same page you can see in your Bible there, the purpose of this book is to instruct so that the ones that read it would know wisdom, instruction, understand words of insight. Wisdom here, in the beginning of the book, those first few verses, is an attribute. It's an ability, it's a characteristic that we are to pursue in God, specifically the ability to live for God wisely. But wisdom in verse 20 is a person. It's different, it's a person here. And the question is, who is this person? Now there's much discussion here, I won't dwell long, but I'll just point out to you that in the New Testament, Christ identifies himself with wisdom. He gets this title for himself. In texts like Matthew 23:34 or Luke 11:49, Christ speaks of himself as wisdom. Just to give you a brief example, I will look at Luke 11:49 here. And Christ says in this text, speaking of his own words, he says, therefore also the wisdom of God says, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation. This is not a quote from a book called Wisdom of God. This is Christ saying that he is the wisdom of God and that he is speaking this. You find the same thing in Matthew 23:34, his words. And you find the same teaching when Christ teaches in parables at times. The parable of the vine and those that were taking care of the vine teaches the same lesson that he speaks here in Matthew 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul identifies Christ with wisdom. He says that in verse 30 that Christ becomes for us the wisdom of God. He becomes our justice, our justification, resurrection, sanctification for us. Christ is indeed the wisdom of God here. But this is not only a personal call, but this is also a universal call. Notice that the text here is directing the call, wisdom, Christ as wisdom is directing the call to everyone, everywhere. Look at verses 21 and 22, where you find, even in verse 20 as well, the many places, the streets, the markets, the noisy streets, the city gates. Christ goes where the sinner is, and he calls out for his soul. And verse 22 highlights three different kinds of people. How long, simple ones, will you love being simple? How long, scoffers, you will delight in their scoffing? And fools hate knowledge. If you do a thorough study of the book of Proverbs, you will find that these are three words that describe the foolish person, and they really are pointing to people that are in different places of the spectrum of foolishness. The scoffer is at the very end. He is a rebel. He is a mocker. He's someone that completely hates God. and doesn't care about God, therefore he mocks. But the simple is the gullible. He could go either way, but he is just ignoring God because he is simple. He doesn't know better, but still, his simplicity will kill him because he ignores God. And the foolish is just a general word that really encompasses all of them. But this is not only a personal and a universal call, this is also an urgent call. Look at the words that Christ uses here. How long will you dwell on your simplicity? Christ cries out aloud. He raises his voice. Here, there's an urgency. Unfortunately, I have seen some of this urgency played out in different ways. And you can almost picture, in Brazil, it is not that uncommon that you see, when you go to do something like a jail ministry or prison ministry, that you see mothers there, desperate, because they see their sons and daughters, especially their sons, in prison because of unwise, foolish choices they made in their lives. And when a mother is seeing a son or a daughter losing himself or herself in drugs or in a wicked lifestyle that drags him to death, she cries out aloud. She doesn't do a lecture. She doesn't whisper. She cries out loud because there's an urgency. How much more should we understand that Christ here is pleading for our souls? Christ values our souls. He doesn't want us to get lost, to lose our life in hell for eternity. But notice that this is a gospel call. This is a gospel call because as you look into verse 23, you read that Christ is calling out saying, if you turn, and this is the key Old Testament word for repentance, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour my spirit to you, I will make my words known to you. There's a call, a gospel call for repentance, for turning. It's that same dynamics you find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul instructing there the Thessalonians to turn unto God, away from idols. That's the same dynamic here. Turn unto Christ, God's wisdom, away from the foolishness that this world offers you, from the many winds of false doctrine. And there's a promise for sanctification. Christ doesn't leave us alone unto ourselves to work it out. But as we turn unto him, he pours his spirit, his very spirit that he has promised in John 14, that he would send another comforter for us. He pours over his spirit, which was present in the Old Testament already. But in the New Testament, we have a fuller measure, a greater measure of the power of the Spirit available for us. And through the Spirit, he makes his words known to us. We're able to understand the scriptures. We're able to live by it. There's live instruction that comes. Therefore, in light of those first few verses here, we have Christ's call for us to come to him. And here the application is very direct. Just come. Come. He invites you. Listen to his words. Look at the words of free grace that are available to you here. You see the wisdom of this world, the things that this world values, is the kind of wisdom that is sectarian. Many times it's just a special enlightened group that has truth and wisdom because an angel revealed, because those people have PhDs and studies and degrees. Christ is calling everyone everywhere. The offer of the gospel and of the wisdom of God is free indeed. It is reaching everyone everywhere. It's not restricted to a special group. There's no criteria that you need to fill in order to listen to this call. You don't need to be good. You don't need to be smart. You don't need to be rich or beautiful. You just need to acknowledge yourself to be a fool. At the same time, this call is a free call. And look how it is a call of amazing grace, because it is directed to every kind of people. Isn't it amazing that this call is directed to foolish men, to scoffers, and to simple ones? Those around you that you see that they are gullible, they go one way or another. They are always jumping from one worldly wisdom to another. They go in phases, living like this and like that. Well, Christ is calling them. They are gullible. Well, if they only listen to the word of Christ, they will find stability and true wisdom in life. So therefore, pray for your family members. Pray for your friends that are going with all the wrong winds of doctrine all around. Pray that they will listen to the call of Christ and be an instrument. Be an instrument yourself to give them this call of Christ. But even those that are scoffers, that we think they cannot be saved. The scoffers here, they are in the end of the spectrum. They are those people that have a scandalous life, that they have again and again and again refused the call of Christ. And in our human perspective, we think there's no hope for them. But Christ promises. He promises, if you turn at my reproof, I will certainly, certainly pour out my spirit. I will make my words known to you. There is hope even for the worst kind of sinner. Wasn't that true of David in the Old Testament after those terrible sins that he committed against the Lord, being a king, abusing of his people, abusing of the sheep that he was entrusted to take care of? But he repented and he found grace and mercy in the time of need. Wasn't this true of Paul? Paul, the great apostle who was the persecutor of the church. But he turned at Christ's call when he called him on the road to Damascus. And he found grace and mercy in the time of need. Wasn't this true for every and each one of you? And isn't this true of me? All of us, we are indeed by nature fools. And you have not acknowledged that yet. Maybe you don't know Christ. You haven't heard his call. But as you look to yourself, to your own sins, isn't this true as well of you? That as you turned unto Christ, he gave you of your spirit, of his spirit, and he gave you knowledge of his word. There is hope for every sinner because this is a gospel of an amazing grace. This is a gospel call that reaches even the scoffers, the simpleton, the gullible one, but also the rebellious, resistant sinner. Christ wins over the sinner. But listen as well to the words of encouragement. For those of you who are indeed believers and Christians who have heard this call already, this is not a call that you hear once in your life. Realize that this is a call that we keep listening and living by it day after day. And there is an encouragement here, especially in verse 23, because Christ doesn't leave you for yourself to work it out in your own strength, but he gives the Spirit and the knowledge of the Word. In Christ's invitation for you, he is already providing for you a means for sanctification, for living out the Christian life. He indeed promises abundant revelation, abundant help by the work of the Spirit in and through you. You only have to ask. But as we look to the text and to those marks of grace here, to those descriptions of how is this person that listens to the call of Christ, we could evaluate ourselves also to see if we have really listened to this call. This is another way of looking at those verses. Here we could present you a couple of questions, a few questions. First of all, how do you know that you have heard this call? Notice that a big presupposition here is that you have to acknowledge that you are a fool. You have to acknowledge that you are a fool to listen to him. Otherwise, you won't give any attention to this call. Have you acknowledged your foolishness? Have you acknowledged that you have been, without Christ, you have been searching for wisdom, for truth, for knowledge, in everything else, but that without Christ, this is all an illusion. This is all empty. Have you acknowledged that you, without Christ, you have been listening to all the wrong voices filled with empty promises until you have turned to him? Have you forsaken your foolishness, not only acknowledged it, but have you let it aside? Have you acknowledged it? Have you repented of it? And now, as you have listened to Christ's call, do you delight in Christ? Can you see in yourself that you have the Spirit of Christ? Can you recognize by God's grace, that you have a knowledge of the Word of God now? You have the Spirit of God working in you. Can you say with the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? He says that by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that it was not him, but it was the grace of God working in and through him. Listen to verse 9. Apostle Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15:9, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God I am what I am. His grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." These are marks of grace. If you see those things that that chapter 1 of Proverbs, verses 20 through 23 speak about, if you see those marks of grace in you, praise be to the Lord. Even if you see them in a little measure, it is the work of the grace of Christ in you. But if you can't see any of that, well, here are the warnings for you that this text brings. In the following verses 24 through 33, here we see Christ warning against deadly refusal. And the deadly refusal is defined very simply in that while men have repeatedly heard the call of Christ, they have refused it because they hate knowledge. They hate knowledge. Verse 29 summarizes this for us here very clearly. It says, "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way." You see, why is the foolish man a fool? The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Here's the greatest foolishness: ignoring what is more important, God. You can have everything in this world, but if you don't have God, it is all in vain. Notice that those foolish men, they have been having the call of Christ again and again and again, and they ignore it. And as a response, it is even a strong response, but it is Christ's response. Christ ignores them. When their calamity comes, when their terror comes, Christ mocks them. When they seek Christ late with false repentance, in verse 28, "They will call upon me, but I will not answer." That's a late seeking of Christ that is concerned with the consequences of their sin, but not with true repentance of heart. Christ don't answer them. Christ will not answer them. There's such an irony, and it is a strong language. But this is Christ. It's the same Christ of Psalm chapter 2 that warns the kings of this earth, "Be admonished, kiss the Son, lest he be angry." It's strong language, indeed. But this is just the result of the choice of the fools. Notice that verses 31 and 32 give to us the law of sowing, especially verse 31 that I have read already, that the fools shall eat of the fruit of their way, they have their fill of their own devices, and that the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. This is really the law of sowing. Do you remember that verse in Galatians? I think it's chapter 6, 7, as I have it noted here. "God shall not be mocked, therefore be advised. Whatever man shall plant, that he shall reap. Whatever man sows, that he shall reap." God will not be mocked. That's strong language, but it is Christ's language. And here is the destiny of the fools. In the end, they will find perdition. And notice that this doesn't really have the language of if, but the language of when. What do I mean by this? It is a fact. It is a fact that everyone will be subjected to judgment in the end. This is why in Christ's words here, as he is admonishing people to listen to him, he says, For example, in verse 27, when terror strikes you like a storm, your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, it's not if, it is when. It is certain that judgment will come. And there's only one way out of judgment. There's only one way to be absolved in this judgment. But the foolish have no way out. Because they have refused to Christ's call, they have no way out. Here it's not simply calamity and terrors in terms of things, bad things that happen in our lives. Because all of us are subjected to that. But this is the terror of judgment. And in contrast, in verse 33, those that have listened to Christ's call, they will dwell secure. They will be at ease without the dread of disaster. This is speaking of, about the end times. We know in this life that many faithful, godly men and women, they suffer terror and anguish. They suffer persecution. Many martyrs have suffered in this life. This is not a promise that there won't be any earthly suffering. Christ himself says that, doesn't he? In this life, we will face many afflictions, many troubles, but be encouraged. I am with you. I have won against them all. But this is about the last day. Therefore, those of you who are here today, listen also, not only to Christ's invitation, but listen to his warnings. Acknowledge that without Christ again, you are a fool, and that your refusal of Christ will lead to judgment. You see, ignoring Christ is a choice. It is a choice. And deliberate ignorance brings condemnation. Even the simple ones, you can say, oh, they didn't know better. No, they ignored Christ because they wanted to ignore. No one can get away with ignoring Christ and his gospel. This is the message that Christ himself teaches in the end of Matthew 7, the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He speaks of those that will come in the last day and they will say to him, Lord, Lord, haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we performed many miracles? Haven't we done this, this, and that? What does Christ answer? Does Christ deny that they did any of this? No. That might as well be true. What does Christ say? I don't know you. I don't have a relationship with you. So therefore, don't get yourself out of the hook too quickly because you are in a church pew, because you come to church, because you are married, you have a good children, well-behaved, you have a good moral life. If you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you haven't heard his call, you can have all the appearance of wisdom, but still in the last day, hear from the mouth of our Savior and Lord that he doesn't know you. Therefore, be warned. Listen to Christ's warning before it is too late, before you incur in the judgment of the fools. Repent from your foolishness and flee away from judgment. Remember that story in Luke chapter 12, the foolish man. He was rich. He gathered everything to himself. But what did Christ say to him? Fool, this evening they will ask for your soul. And all of this that you have gathered, what are you going to do with this? What good is it to you that you have everything in the world, but that you lose your soul? That you lose your soul. Therefore, don't wait until it is too late. Know that there is grace available for you today, this morning. Really, Proverbs 3:34 summarizes this warning with a call as well. Look at Proverbs 3:34. There the word of God says, toward the scorners, he, God, is scornful. He's going to mock the mockers. But to the humble, he gives favor. Therefore, listen to Christ's call. There is grace and there is favor. Remember the invitation. Don't wait until you hear those words in the end. I don't know you. But how can this be a salvific call? How can this be a salvific call? We have talked about the invitation and the warning. But how is it that Christ not only is able to call us, but indeed he is able to save us? And here we have the beauty of the gospel in Proverbs. That Christ is able to call and save us because he was the one that endured the judgment of the fools. He took upon himself the judgment of the fools. As we read this text in light of further revelation, we understand that this is a title for Christ. The Apostle Paul identifies wisdom with Christ. Christ identifies himself with Christ. And we understand that Christ is the one who endured the greatest calamity, the greatest terrors. He had the sins of the world upon his shoulders. He had the terrors of hell upon his soul when he was there in Gethsemane. He wasn't afraid of a Roman cross when he was sweating blood. That anguish of terror was because of the sins of the world that were about to be upon his shoulders. Christ was mocked upon the cross, spitten, tortured. Even when he was there in his last minutes, his last hours, he asked for the help of the Father. But he was ignored. The Lord Jesus Christ, using the language of Proverbs 1, he ate the fruit of the ways of the fools. He was filled with the consequences, with the devices of the fools. He became accursed in our place in that cross. He did all of this so that we, foolish men and women, would hear his call. So that we would believe when he calls us that there is power available to transform and change us. This is how this is a salvific call, Christian. This is how Christ saves us. He takes upon himself the judgment of the fools. Therefore, in light of this, understand there is grace available for you. And here's your confidence, because Christ has endured it all. You don't have to endure it yourself if you only listen to him and come while he still calls you before it is too late. Therefore, from all that you have heard today, friends, be certain Christ called each and every one of you particularly today. Elderly ones, children, adults, men, women. He calls everyone, everywhere. He warns you as well, so that you won't listen to your heart or the wisdom of this world, but that you would listen to him and find wisdom outside yourself in him. Listen to his words in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Christ teaches us when he says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. So, friends, listen to Christ's call today. Turn away from your foolishness, and you will have life and true security. Otherwise, Christ warns you that refusing his call leads to death and destruction. So listen to Christ, and you will have life. Amen. Now let us pray and ask the Lord for applying his truth and his wisdom to our hearts. O Lord our God, we come unto you acknowledging our need, that we are fools indeed without you. There's no wisdom in us. We need you, O Christ, we need you. Come to us, speak tenderly to us, speak to our souls. Turn us unto you, we plead, we ask, Lord, that you would be with us, that you would help us to live wise and godly lives for your sake. Do not let us be lost in the foolishness of our hearts, seeking foolishness outside of us or even inside of us. But let us seek your wisdom instead of the world's wisdom, which is foolishness. Let us seek you, Christ. Help us to seek you. This we pray in the name of the Beloved. Amen.